Right, our reading today is Psalm 25. In you, Lord, my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame, but shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Saviour, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful towards those who keep the demands of his covenant. For the sake of your name, Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. Who then are those who fear the Lord? He will instruct them in the ways they should choose. They will spend their days in prosperity, and their descendants will inherit the land. The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. My eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snare. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Relieve the troubles of my heart and free me from my anguish. Look on my affliction and my distress and take away all my sins. See how numerous are my enemies and how fiercely they hate me. Guard my life and rescue me. Do not let me be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope, Lord, is in you. Deliver Israel, O God, from all their troubles. Let's pray for Margaret. Dear Lord, we just pray for Margaret now. We pray that she will really know your leading as to what she has to say from you to us. Lord, I pray that we will open our ears, our hearts, and our minds to respond to what you are saying to us all. I ask these things in your name. Amen.
Well, thank you to Janet and to Michael for their part in it this morning. Did you notice that last verse that Janet just paused before reading that last verse? When I first read the psalm, that verse looked to me almost like a postscript. It didn't quite fit with the rest of the psalm. Was it just an afterthought? I'll leave that thought with you. We'll come back to that in a little while. First of all, a little story for you. The old ones are always the best, and this is a very old one. There was a Sunday school teacher who was teaching her class of small children and telling them the story of Lot and his wife fleeing from the wicked city of Sodom. Some of these children were hearing the story for the first time, and their eyes were growing as wide as saucers as she explained to them that God told them that they must flee from the city because God was going to destroy the city. They must run and not look back. But Lot's wife let curiosity get the better of her, and she looked back and she turned into a pillar of salt. And at that point, one little boy in the class interrupted her and said, "Yes, miss, I know, that's just like my mum. She was driving down the village and she looked back and she turned into a lamppost." Oh dear, moral to the story, it's a dangerous thing to look back. But you ask any driving instructor, and they will tell you, yes, it's vital that you've got your eyes forward and look where you're going, but you also do need to look back. You need to know what's behind you. You particularly need to know what's creeping up behind you, ready to overtake just as you're going to turn right. Oh dear, I can hear my driving instructor now. Mirror, indicate, manoeuvre, in that order. Okay. Why on earth am I saying all this? Well, it seems to me in this psalm that David is looking back. Now, as I did what Chris has been encouraging us to do, to meditate on the psalm and to see what jumps out at us, and Chris had already given the title to this psalm, which was Remember Me, I honed in on verse 7, which is on the front of your notice sheet this week. And if I could paraphrase it in my own words, "Oh Lord, please do not remember the sins of my youth, but Lord, in your love, remember me." He goes on in verse 11, "Forgive all my iniquity, although it is great." Verse 18, "Consider all my affliction and forgive all my sins." It seems that throughout this psalm, David is fluctuating between confidence in God, "In you I will put my trust," and on the other hand, acute anxiety. "Do not let me be ashamed. Do not let my enemies triumph over me. Forgive all my sin." Is David looking back and cringing over his own past sin? And is it a dangerous thing to do that? He talks about being, he seems to be tangled up in it, and he talks about his feet being in a snare. In other translations, his feet are in a net, and he's caught up in this net, and only God can lift his feet out of that net. I'm sure we can all identify with David in this. How many times have we looked back and said, "Oh, I wish I hadn't said that. I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I'd have done that instead." And we can just beat ourselves up and destroy ourselves over it and get so tangled up in it. But here's the thing. Very often when we're looking back in that way and cringing over it, it's because it's stuff that we haven't dealt with. If we could have our first slide up, please. Looking back. Where we're harboring, where there is unconfessed sin, undealt with sin that's in our lives, maybe unforgiveness of somebody else who sinned against us. All of these things can paralyze us, almost like Lot's wife turning into a pillar of salt, and it prevents us from moving forward in our lives as God wants us to, because we've not dealt with those things. Can we have that next bullet point and the next bullet point up there? And we see this unconfessed sin, unforgiveness, that's tying us up in knots. Now, on this question of unforgiveness, as we look at the Psalms, we need to see the difference between the Old Testament mindset and the New Testament mindset. We see again and again in the Psalms, and perhaps particularly from David, where he talks about his enemies, and he calls down fire and brimstone on his enemies, not quite so much in this psalm, but in other psalms. And he cries out against this wickedness, and he calls down condemnation on them. Moving on to the New Testament, which we're more familiar with, looking on to the teaching of Jesus, do you remember the writer of the Hebrews says, "In times of old, God spoke through the prophets, but now he has spoken through his Son." And Jesus says, "I say unto you, love your enemies. Do good to those who despitefully use you. Forgive, forgive, forgive." And we see this difference between these two ways, and we can get very tied up in it and wondering what is the right way forward, where in the Old Testament there is this condemnation, and in the New Testament Jesus is saying, love your enemies, forgive. If I could just say a personal word here, I just want to thank you all so much for your love, your prayers, and your concern for me over the last little while since my sister died just recently. We have appreciated that love and support so much. It's not just been a question of the grief of losing a much-loved sister. There has also been the distress of the circumstances around it that have been so very, very difficult, and the one person who has caused her so much pain and so much distress, untold distress that has been there. I won't go into all the details, but suffice it to say that has been incredibly difficult, and it has been so difficult to forgive. And yet God says that we must forgive. I'm sorry, I've completely lost myself at that point. Let me get back onto it. Jesus says, unless you forgive others, then your Heavenly Father will not forgive you. Sometimes it helps to just take that stand of saying, of an act of will, that I will forgive this person, however difficult it is, I will forgive this person as an act of will. And we have to keep on saying that and keep on repeating it, because we take it back and we start worrying about it again and we take it all back on ourselves. But as we keep on repeating it and asking God to forgive that person through us, then he does. And gradually, gradually, by the grace of God, that act of will becomes a reality in our lives. And we can forgive from our hearts. How great is God's love when he does that within us and helps us to forgive, and he sets us free from it. So we must look back. We must look back and we must forgive as our Heavenly Father has forgiven us and lead us on. So if we could have the next line up on the slide again, please. We look back and deal with it, and in God's grace and in God's strength, let him deal with it. And the next line, please. Look back, let go, and let God, and let God live through it. So secondly, thank you, if we could close that one down, please. We need to look back at what God has done for us. David, right at the beginning of his psalm, looks back to God, and he looks up to God. No one whose hope is in the Lord will be put to shame. He knows this already about God, that God is there with him, that he can look to God, his hope is in God. And he looks to God's love and all that God has done for him. He looks back at all that God has done, all the way that God has led him over the time. And he looks to all that God is. If we could have the next slide up, please. Look back and look up to God. Look at in the RSV version of the Bible, it says, I will lift up my eyes to God and look to what God has done in our lives. And the next bullet point, please. We look to all that God has done, and again on the next point, all that we know of God. And as David begins to look on all that he knows of God, all the blessings that he knows of God, he begins to bring a calmness to him, that he knows how great God is and how much God loves him. And that as he looks to God for teaching, teach me, O Lord, lead me in your way. And he looks to God for that. Even in the anguish of verses 16 to 20, he knows that in integrity and uprightness, God will protect him. So as we look to God and look up to God, and he leads us in every way. The children of Israel looked back constantly and were constantly being urged to look back to all that God had done for them, how he had led them out of the slavery of Egypt, through the wilderness and into the promised land, and made them God's redeemed people. God knows that when he looks at, David knows that when he looks at what he knows of God, that remembrance brings assurance. Could we have that next line up? Sorry, we've lost the slide. And the next line up there, please. Remembrance brings assurance. How many times has Chris said that to us as we've been looking at the Psalms? Remembrance brings assurance. And David finds that here through this psalm, that as he looks to what God has done, God leads him and God assures him of the way forward. So then, thirdly, God's response. As David looks to God and looks for what God has done him and the way that God has led him and God bringing that assurance to him. We don't actually see God's response here in this psalm. This is why it's just so great that this term we're looking at the Psalms, not just one psalm in isolation. This psalm is all about David pouring out his heart to God. We don't see what God's response is. We do see it where we look at the other psalms. And I actually found it very helpful to look at a conversation going on between David and God that leads David to then write what he writes in other psalms. And bear with me on this, but this is the conversation that's going on between David and God. David says to him, going back to that verse 7 again, oh God, do not remember my sins, do not remember my past sins, but oh God, in your love, remember me. And God says to him, really? You're asking me to remember you? I made you. I knitted you together. I formed you in your mother's womb. I know when you go out and I know when you come in. I know when you sit down. I know everything about you. Psalm 139. We're going to be looking at it next week. So I don't just steal anyone's thunder for next week. But in Psalm 139, this is what it says. Remember you? Ah. Oh. We looked a few weeks ago at the planets we've still got up here. Do you remember all the stars that we had on the backdrop up here and the planets? And Chris absolutely bamboozled us with the millions and trillions of planets that there are and how many billions of people there are on this one planet. And yet God knows how many hairs there are on my head. Even when I've just brushed it and lost a few more because it's getting thinner as I'm getting older. How great is God's love for us? Remember you, says David. Of course I remember you. How could I possibly forget you? And what's all this about not remembering your sins? As far as the east is from the west, so far have I put your sins away from me. Remember a few weeks ago when we looked at that psalm, Psalm 101, remind me somebody, I've not got it written down here, but we looked at it, how far the east is from the west. And Chris and Rilla were both up here demonstrating how far the east is from the west. If I get on an aeroplane and keep flying due east, all the way around the globe and come back towards the UK and the UK is in the east of me, I never catch up with the west. So far have you put our sins away from us, says the Lord. How humbling is that in the light of what I was sharing earlier. Unlike us, God's forgiveness is instant, unconditional, and total. No wonder David begins that psalm, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Remember you, says God? Never in any question. Do not remember your sins? Never in any doubt. Instead, you remember me. Final word on that slide, which is already gone. Never mind. So we come to our communion service this morning. Do this in remembrance of me. We're in so much better a position today, post-crucifixion, that we can see how God is able to forgive to the uttermost. Our sin is wiped out once and for all. Do you remember the song that Bethia led here a couple of weeks ago, that beautiful song? There is a line in it that says, 100 billion failures disappear. We can look back in awe at what Jesus has done for us, what he has wiped out for us. We look back to the unimaginable suffering of Jesus, his broken body, his poured out blood, and look in awe at what he has done for us. But we also look to his resurrection. He is alive today. If we could have that slide up, please. Do this in God's response. Sorry, move on to the next slide. Yes. We'll get there. Do not. Psalm 103, not 101. Thank you. You remember me. Move on to the next slide. Do this in remembrance of me. We look back in awe, but we also live in the resurrection. We live. Jesus is alive today. He speaks to us today. Whenever we look to him for guidance and teaching, he's right there beside us, walking the walk with us, step by step, day by day. We can look back in awe at everything that he has done, but we live in the resurrection today. And we have him walking beside us, walking the walk, living in the present. There's even more than that. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Yes, look back and deal with whatever is there. We can look back at all that God has done. We live in the presence by his Holy Spirit, but then we look forward to his coming. Jesus is coming back to reign in perfect justice and truth and righteousness, when every wrong will be put right, every atrocity vindicated, his prerogative, not ours. Every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. And every plea in David's psalm is answered, including the last one. Remember, I pointed out that last verse in the psalm, and God says, where he says, "Redeem Israel, O Lord, for your name's sake," God says, "Done it." The final outcome is certain and assured. It is finished. Amen.